And you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show here on the FOW Network. I am Patrick with Danny Danger Millis. We are back after a little hiatus. I think it's been, 3 weeks? I'd like to say I've missed you, but, you know, why not? I'm an American now, so I missed you guys so much.
He's only been an American a few weeks, and he's already lying to our faces. I think he picks up quick.
He picks up really quick. I mean, he's also American where he says, he ate us.
I mean, Americans do not eat other Americans. Isn't that what it means? That this is a dog-eat-dog world, you know, because people eat each other?
Yeah, they eat dogs, yeah. That's pretty much what that means.
Welcome to America and full citizenship. You've got it way covered.
Yeah, I think you're doing all right.
You know what? When I heard ignorance was bliss, you know, I thought that was part of the American way.
You were just thinking about Alexa, though.
Yeah, you just heard bliss and you tuned everything else out.
And you tuned everything else out and you just got all stars in your eyes and stuff. And you just, you stopped paying attention at that point.
I mean, well, you know, like one of the greatest American wonders, Metallica says, nothing else matters.
American wonder, Metallica. I think that's probably a first.
I was looking for another word, but American wonder is the first thing. I think you guys call it a national treasure. I think that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. That's what some people say, yeah.
You know, I tend to be necessarily a perfectionist, but somebody who likes things to be nice and neat. And I spend a lot of time, editing the podcast so that it could be crisp. And you know what? The non-American me probably would get gone back and edit half of what we just said. But I'm an American now, so I'm not going to do hard work. I'm going to be lazy, you know? And if I can't find somebody from a gas station to do this for me for $10 an hour, I'm just going to leave it all to them.
$10 an hour? You're overpaying. What's wrong with you?
Seriously. What happened to the hot dog and a handshake deal, okay? I thought that's what we did.
That usually makes sense when you are in a barn with no air conditioning. And you know, you can smell the sweat of like the person that's sitting across from you, and you know, but when it comes to podcasting, I mean, $10 is fair, especially when you're dealing with somebody outside of a gas station. Now, I don't know if those people are still there. That's the other thing. It's like unemployment has been the lowest it's been in years, according to some people, a person. So maybe those people are not there anymore, and now I can't hire somebody to edit this thing. So I guess there's no editing to be doing anymore.
Just make sure if you go to the gas station, waving a $10 bill around for people to come do work for you, you're looking for people in front of the gas station or like maybe to the side by the payphone and not in the restroom. They will offer you an entirely different job for $10.
Oh my god.
I mean, you're a married man, for Christ's sake, okay?
This is true. I'm a very happily married man. I mean, how else do you think I became an American? Not by the good looks of mine.
It was an extremely long con of getting your citizenship, being with your wife for almost a decade.
Over a decade. It's been 12 years, pal.
Not that he's counting or anything.
You've been married less than a decade. Is that where I'm getting my numbers mixed up? You've been married for 9 years or something?
But you have to be married for at least 3 years before you can apply for your citizenship.
Yeah, so it was just a really long con then. Yeah.
Mm. Slow play.
Yeah, the long game, as they call it. All right, so I hear there was, while you were gone out of the country gallivanting about like an international man of mystery, there was wrestling happening here in the U.S. Like, I heard something about that. I don't know if that can be confirmed or denied by either of you.
I mean, there was wrestling. There's also a lot of sports entertainment, which I tried my best to catch up on.
Yeah, most of it's not worth catching up on, though, to be honest. But we'll talk about it anyways. It's what we do. The good, the bad, and the not worth mentioning, we'll mention.
Oof. Let's talk about some of the things that have been going on. And let's actually kind of talk about some things with the Fed and this TV deal. Of course, we spoke in length about the deal with Monday Night Raw staying on the USA Network. Again, remaining 3 hours for a whole lot of money. And the question is, well, what's going to happen with SmackDown Live? Because USA Network says they want Raw. They don't want SmackDown Live. So they're paying this insane amount of money to continue having the Raw on their network. Well, apparently a deal has been made. You know, handshakes have been done. And now SmackDown Live is going to Fox. So not only is it moving networks, it's also moving nights. Because apparently it's going on Friday nights.
They, like, Fox cleared off their Friday night television schedule, shifted a bunch of other stuff around in order to bring SmackDown back to Friday nights. Teddy Long would be very proud.
And I think what's the biggest thing is that not only is it going, but it's very possible that it's not going to be on FS1, Fox Sports 1, but that it actually may be on the big Fox, on the network. On the channel that does not require, you know, for people to pay a long, extravagant amount of money for cable, you know, if they have those what do you call them, rabbit ears, you know, you can watch Fox, you know, even if you're stealing it from your neighbor and it's a little bit rainy, people still do that. But yeah, I mean, you know how many people get Fox? I think very easily more people could be watching, will have access to SmackDown Live on Friday nights than they will Monday Night Raw on Monday nights.
That's correct. Basic cable, you get, you know, FS1, like you said, but just network television. Fox is everywhere. Fox has had a series and a slew of popular shows, and I, unfortunately, don't watch Fox. So I can only think of like old shows like Mulder and Scully, The X-Files, and what is that one with Jack Bauer, whatever that thingy is. But anyway, it is one of the premier networks based off of viewership and ratings based on their shows that they've had in the past. So this could be huge for WWE and the SmackDown brand, being on Fox, where Fox has affiliates. You know, NBC fronts Universal or backs Universal for USA for, you know, that show, that network. Well, Fox is its own entity and brand, so they don't have to kind of, you know, hide behind a name. So if this is a Fox show, people are more likely to turn on and watch just because of the network and not even so much to wrestling, which, you know, it still is great right now. We'll have to see what happens when it goes to change over to Fridays and how SmackDown back on Fridays goes, because, you know, it was good for a while, but Friday nights are more date nights, and having people kind of stay in to watch SmackDown, that might be a stretch.
Well, let me holler at you, player, and talk to you about Friday nights. All right. We're going to have ourselves a tag team match. No, but like, I mean, so anybody knows that, you know, you get a TV, you plug it into the wall, you get a handful of channels. You get the three network channels, ABC, NBC, and Fox. So it's going to be in an unreal amount of households. So hopefully that translates into big viewership. I mean, it is a huge money deal as well. I I think this is the infamous $1 billion deal, right? Or was that with the one with USA?
Yeah, no, that's the deal. Fox will get that.
$1 billion for 5 years.
That's with a B. With a B, not an M. Yeah. With a B.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That also apparently includes a one-hour also TV show on FS1, which a lot of people are thinking that it could possibly be the next home for NXT. You know, if they decide to do something. Because remember, currently, the Fox Force 1 has 1 hour on Wednesday nights that they give to the UFC, where they do a talk show, news show, right?
Bring it back, Talking Smack, brother.
Right. Well, no, they never gonna bring Talking Smack. That's that was too good of a thing for sports entertainment. But I think that with that 1 hour slot, it's very possible that they may try to look into putting something on FS1 on Wednesday nights. And what better than a show like NXT? You can build on that. I mean, I think NXT, a lot of people see as the better brand in some places because Vince McMahon does not have his hands on it. And I think because of that, a lot of people can appreciate it a little bit more. And then also the type of talent that you have coming through NXT right now, I think that there is value. WWE has so much stuff already that they have to drive people to WWE Network. NXT is one of those things where they can actually make a lot of more money by having it on TV. And
yeah, get that advertising money. Get commercials and stuff in.
Absolutely. So if not that, I don't know what else. But, you know, you also have, you know, something. What are you going to do with 205 Live? You're not going to get rid of it, obviously. But what, you know, that could become the new exclusive for the network outside, you know, because if you no longer have NXT, because I think if any one show is going to be able to be successful on TV, it would be NXT. No offense to the 205 Livers.
Yeah, there's also a lot more story driven with NXT versus 205 Live. They've been working on doing some story, some more story stuff on 205 Live. But I think you have more characters, and I think NXT is kind of distinctly its own. You know, with it being shot in a different place and different producers and different camera work and things like that, I think it makes itself more distinct, and I think that could be a very, very nice addition to, you know, to FS1. Get all that nice advertising revenue would be great money for WWE as well.
Great money and a great tool to weigh the weight of NXT. To see on a cable, or have it on a cable network show, to look at how many households it actually goes into, how many viewers, the Nielsen ratings. And again, while Vince doesn't have his hand in it, I think he still looks at it as being a pet project and not that great. And if they put it on the cable network and he sees how great those numbers turn out, which we are anticipating those numbers to be great if it happens, then it'll dawn on him of what kind of goal mind he has, and then we might be in trouble because he might want more control.
Well, you think about this too also, as far as driving people to WWE Network. You expose NXT to more eyes by having it on TV, then more people get interested in it, the more people want to watch TakeOver. You know, now you have, what, 4 or 5 TakeOvers a year, and now more people get to meet the NXT wrestlers. And I think that also helps with the mainstream fans that may not have WWE Network to be able to actually see who these guys are before they get to the main roster. Because I think that some guys have come to no reaction because the mainstream fans who don't watch anything outside of the main roster have no clue who they are. And then sometimes they're a name that people, recognize. But then sometimes it's a name that's like, wait, what? And I think that this would help get the mainstream fans a little bit more connected with the NXT product and the guys as they get moved to the main roster.
Yeah, very true. Very true. More people see them as kind of the NXT in their NXT persona.
So, with more money, though, come more problems.
Word.
So, we all know after CM Punk left WWE and his contract was over, he got onto he did a podcast with his friend Colt Cabana. And, well, he said a lot of things. And then he said a lot of bad, some negative things about the WWE doctor. Well, the WWE doctor decided, with the backing of WWE, of course, to sue Punk and Cabana. And they went to trial. The trial happened this year. And the verdict came this week. Right as CM Punk was ready for his fight inside the octagon at UFC 225, he was also facing a fight in the courtroom. And, well, 12 people, I don't think any of them were his peers because, there were probably no pro wrestlers or UFC fighters.
It's okay to say that CM Punk has no peers. It's okay to say that. He is a class to himself.
Damn straight.
Literally, straight edge. Dang straight edge.
Yeah, that too.
They spoke, and the verdict was not guilty, or whatever the verdict, however they said it. I don't know, but it sounds much better when I say not guilty. So they are not, they don't have to pay almost $4 million that the doctor was asking in damages for affecting his reputation. I believe what the exact amount was $1 per every download of Cabana's episode with CM Punk. It was like almost 4 million downloads.
Yeah. I mean, it basically, so he tried to sue them for like slander and libel and say they hurt his reputation by the podcast. But the judge and jury ruled in favor of Punk and Cabana, saying that no, they didn't owe him any money because of that. I mean, it's not like he lost his job. He still works for WWE, like it hasn't really affected his income. It's not like it ruined his career and now he's facing getting his house foreclosed on and all these kind of things. Although they went through days of testimony and all this kind of stuff, they did not rule in favor of the plaintiff. And so CM Punk wins one victory. Hopefully he can translate that momentum into his first victory in the octagon. If not, hopefully he can translate that into resurgence in his wrestling career.
I mean, he could be all in. He was all in his court case, and he went with the feeling that he was not wrong in what he said, that there was nothing that was, he did not defame this man's character by any way, means, or shape or form. Like you said, maybe he wins in court and in the octagon, but if not, there's something else happening in Chicago that, he could just pop up and, I'm not saying the outcomes are predetermined, but I'm pretty sure they, let him win there as well. This lawsuit was, I believe, a test in the waters for WWE to see if they could somehow, one, screw Punk over again, and two, put a warning out there for anybody who wants to badmouth the Fed or anyone who the Fed is close to or within their fold, their organization, or what have you. Because let's be honest, this is not the first time anyone has done a shoot interview who's left the WWE and said some things. This is the first time that it has gone to litigation. And this has gone to litigation because of Punk being very outspoken. And the way he left was not at the WWE's behest. It was at his own. And that kind of burned a lot of people's asses higher up. And his mouth kind of burned their asses some more. So they kind of basically sicked this doctor on him once again and said, go get him. Go put him in court and let's see what happens. We're going to win this. The WWE is a powerful machine, but they take a big L going after Punk, even hiding behind a doctor. We're all looking at this going, yeah, this is all WWE's, you know, doing. This doctor didn't do this on his own. So it opens a door sort of kind of that people may feel a little more free when they leave WWE to speak ill or to speak out of pocket, so to speak. But it also proves that, you know, there is some bad blood there with the WWE and CM Punk, that no matter how much people chant his name in the arena or arenas around the world, you will not see this man back in the WWE ring at all. I'm going to say it. And I'm one who wants to see him back, but that's not going to happen. So,
well, CM Punk claims that he is not all in. But will he be all in later on? I mean, that's going to be a show that all the matches haven't been announced. Well, I don't think any but one match has been announced. And it's something that you can work your way into as time progresses. I mean, CM Punk has not been offered a wrestling match. He says no one has come to him directly and specifically say, hey, I have this show, and I have this opponent, and this is how much I want to pay you to come in. No one has actually literally said those words. Now, people have said other things, but they haven't specifically said that.
Well, everybody knows he has a UFC contract, so I think that's part of it. Partly CM Punk has said, oh, I'm done with wrestling. The second part, I think, is that he has a contract with the UFC, and people think that people... or he's going to want more money than most people are willing to pay at this time. I think it's kind of that as opposed to people being afraid. I think it's just that they think UFC wouldn't allow him to take wrestling bookings while he's contracted, you know, or he wouldn't be interested.
What do you think? Do you think that Dana White would say no to getting him in a wrestling ring to get more wrestling fans tuned in a UFC?
No, CM Punk is not Brock Lesnar.
Well, there's also a working relationship there.
And as great as CM Punk is, CM Punk does not draw the way that Brock Lesnar draws. I mean, at least not the proven draw as they both have shown. You know, I mean, I think, no disrespect to Punk, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, but I think that he, even though there's a lot of eyes already on him, I don't think he would add any additional ones. I think that all the eyes that are on his fights are the most that he's going to get. I think now the thing is, you're bringing all these wrestling fans. Now, how can you make the MMA fans your fans? Because that's the thing. He's a pro wrestler trying MMA. I think that he has more fans on the pro wrestling side watching him and cheering for him than he does MMA fans.
Good points.
Yeah, and see, with Ronda coming over as well, and Dana White and WWE kind of seemingly bridging gaps, I don't know if Dana White, you know, if there would be pressure from the WWE to try to lock Punk down and not let him use what fame he's going to bring to a wrestling show to another wrestling company. If he wants to go to a Ring of Honor show or a Beyond Wrestling show, or, you know, or show up at the Black Craft event that's coming up, I don't know if WWE would let him, or WWE would want him doing that, because he would be using you know, he might bring more eyes to that show, which is technically a competition for the WWE. So would they put pressure on Dana White and the UFC to say, hey, you know, let's not let this guy do this thing. You know, that's potentially going to hurt us, or not even necessarily hurt us, but it's our way to kind of stick it to him a little bit.
Hey, Dana, get your mans.
Pretty much. Keep your boy in check, Dana. Keep our boy in check. I mean, it's a lot of interesting theories, but I think Punk is kind of tied up until he decides he's done with fighting and he either breaks that UFC contract or fulfills his fights. I don't think we're going to see him at a wrestling ring. I mean, he hasn't done any kind of you know, appearances as far as signings, like independently. I mean, he's done some at comic book shows, you know, comic places. So I don't think so.
There's also this thing that CM Punk has stated that he has multiple fights on his deal. Now, I think that a lot lies in this Saturday night and how well he does, right? If he gets beat by Michael Jackson, yes, he's fighting Michael Jackson. If he gets beat by Michael Jackson, then, you know, and as easily as he got beat by Mickey Gall, you know, I see Dana White just cutting him. I'm like, okay, you're not going to cut it. Now, if he actually fights a good fight and loses a decision or whatever, shows how much he's grown in MMA and how good he is, and shows potential, they might keep him again, right? And give him another shot. But I think, or if he wins, they'll definitely keep him. But the result of this Saturday night is going to tell us a lot about his future. Now, he talks about how he could possibly fight again after this fight. He doesn't himself know that. He doesn't know what his future lies. You know, I'm sure that his wife does not want him to get into an octagon and get his butt beat over and over again. You know what I mean? What person wants to see their loved one get crushed inside an octagon for real? And, of course, I think at this point, CM Punk, if, you know, Cody Rhodes has shown us anything, and the Ryback, and many other former WWE wrestlers have shown, is that, you know, depending on how good you are and your name, you can make a heck lot of money in the indies. You can call your shots, get those first class flights, those 5-star hotel accommodations, you know, and get paid very, very well to do whatever you want, to handpick, approve your opponent, approve your finish, approve your everything. And I think that CM Punk has that type of bargaining power if he chooses to do the pro wrestling again. If he chooses to, now, the man is a very wise man who just avoided having to pay almost $4 million. Of course, he still does have to pay the legal fees. You know, he paid his attorney a lot of money to defend him. So he still has to, you know, pay that and things like that. So he's going to make a good amount of change on this pay-per-view coming up. You know, depending on how good it does, the last pay-per-view he was on did very well. So I think that a lot speaks volumes about him specifically, because trust me, that one pay-per-view, the first one he was on, we didn't have the star power to do any big numbers, and he did very well. A lot of it credited to him, which is why he's on that pay-per-view right now on this Saturday, because he's a 0-1 fighter. And he is fighting another 0-1 fighter in Michael Jackson. So,
the smooth criminal himself.
That sounds like a, you know, fight pass prelim fight, not a pay-per-view fight. But he brings eyeballs. You know, he sells pay-per-views.
Well, that's what happens when you when you're messing with the man in the mirror. Let me try to make some more Michael Jackson jokes before we move on to the next segment.
Like, you could say that CM Punk wants to get in the octagon with Michael Jackson and just beat it.
Oh, yeah. CM Punk is not his fighter. He's just a kid who thinks he wants to be the one or something. Something kind of like Billie Jean. You know what I'm saying? You know where I was trying to go with that? See, like, I didn't think about all this because I didn't know that he was fighting Michael Jackson. Had I known, I would have had more time to prep these bits, and they would be gold. I'm telling you, they'd be like they'd have more hits than Thriller. Okay, that's what I'm saying. They'd be like quadruple platinum and shit. Okay,
y'all missed a golden opportunity. Pumpkin, are you okay? Are you okay, Pump? Come on.
There you go. That's a good one. See, I called him the smooth criminal. You've been struck by the smooth criminal.
You know, I think that as Michael Jackson has, you know, CM Punk on a submission hold, he's looking to give up, and his cornerman is telling him, "You are not alone. I am here with you."
Yeah.
And, you know, not, so he doesn't give up. So he knows that he has someone in his corner rooting for him.
Baby, if you're a fighter, I'm gonna make you black and blue, something like that. You know, like, it doesn't matter if you're black and white. It doesn't matter if you're black or blue, could make you both or something.
It's the way Michael Jackson makes him feel when he's beating him.
It's gonna be the one glove, and the one glove is gonna do all the damage. If Michael Jackson actually comes out with like his UFC gloves and one of them's colored differently than the other, like, it's gonna be amazing. If he's got one that's like shiny and the other is just like plain black, it'll be fantastic.
If CM Punk gets punched one too many times, he's no longer going to be a pretty young thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And, goodness. Children are our future. No, that was Whitney Houston. Damn it. See?
He's going to be beat like his name is Dirty Diana. Come on, boys. Let's not go there.
If he puts him in an arm bar, he's going to make him scream like Michael and Janet did. Okay?
Scream. Scream.
That is also one of the best collaborations Michael ever did. Okay,
hey, who knows? You know, but before the end of the third round, you know, you're gonna have CM Punk calling out for his best friend Ben.
Oh gosh,
CM Punk might have to get a nose job by the time the fight's done.
Okay? Oh,
his face might look like Michael's after the botched nose job, where it just like his face fell off.
I mean, CM Punk. CM Punk is just going to be screaming, "Leave me alone. Please just leave me alone."
He's going to be hanging AJ out the window in front of the paparazzi.
After CM Punk gets in the octagon, he's going to realize this ain't no Neverland.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, we could go on and on. Sorry, Danny, that I did not prep you enough.
I thought about the exciting world of legal proceedings. And fell asleep before I even started reading the article.
You were focused on the law and order.
That's it. I prefer the law. You know, the first half of the show of Law and Order rather than the second half. So that's kind of what I was focused on.
He won against the WWE. Will he win against Michael Jackson? Who knows? We'll find out after this Saturday night. And then, you know, Danny, based on the result, you know, you can prep all you want, and I'm sure you'll come up with a lot of other fun things to say next week.
Depending on the outcome of the fight, yeah.
That will help a lot. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's about it with the main roster. We're going to slide a little bit into the semi-main roster, talking about 205 Live. Well, ever since Vince McMahon came a little more hands-off on that, we've seen the storyline somewhat mirror NXT, kind of like, okay, the same vibe as NXT. And I'll tell you, I really enjoyed the way that Cedric's title run has been so far. I think that he has taken the championship and ran with it, made the best of the situation they were in. He's been a great champion. He's put out some great matches with a lot of opponents. I love what they've been doing with the long-term story with Buddy Murphy. You know, the whole not being able to make weight, and he finally made weight. He was able to compete. Then he got a title shot. I don't know. To me, I think that in the last couple of months, 205 Live has felt more fresh. And now with a vignette of, you know, showing that Leo Rush is coming to 205 Live, which no surprise there, I think that is going to bring even more excitement to the division.
Well, I mean, since they started, once Drake Maverick came in and they started the whole, you know, championship tournament, I had heard rave reviews about the first couple episodes of the tournament. And so I went back, I started watching that. And this is the first time I've ever watched 205 Live consistently. And I really enjoy it, not just for the matches, but the stories. A lot of the characters are, you know, they're fleshed out without being so much that their characters dominate what they're doing, you know, which was kind of the thing when Enzo had his guys and he was there, like, you know, it wasn't character driven. It was character led. Characters weren't pushing things forward. It was just a show about characters, and they would sometimes wrestle, you know. But I really like the format of the show. I think Drake Maverick does an amazing job as like the GM, because he treats it like he's the promoter. He uses that term. I'm a promoter. I'm trying to promote fights and get eyes on what we have. And he talks it up really well without sounding like it's forced, without sounding like he's overselling things. His enthusiasm is there. You have the characters like the Lucha House Party, you know, and you have Gulak there kind of doing his thing, but toned down a little bit from what it once was. You know, you have Hideo Itami and Akira Tozawa, and kind of they're coming together and now they're falling out. Cedric's title run, you mentioned Buddy Murphy. I think Mustafa Ali's been doing really good stuff. So there's just a lot of really good things happening. I mean, I'm kind of interested. I wasn't that surprised they're bringing Leo Rush to 205 Live, but I am kind of surprised that he's seemingly jumping NXT. Like, he was in it, he made one or two appearances in NXT, essentially in enhancement roles. You know, he got some of his a little bit of offense of his fast movements and stuff in, but ultimately he was there to put somebody else over. He was there to kind of, you know, he got crushed by Lars Sullivan. He got crushed by somebody else. But they hyped him up as though he was a big deal, and then he loses his only few times. I don't know. I mean, I don't really keep up with what's going on the house shows, especially not the Florida loop. So I don't know how much Leo's been working the untelevised events, but I think they do have a lot of hopes and high hopes for him if they're just bouncing him around NXT TV and moving him to much more of an opportunity to thrive in. He's a very small guy. Like, he's like 150 pounds. He's very small. So it would be very easy for him to just absolutely physically get lost in the shuffle in NXT, especially when you have bigger guys, you know, bigger guys with bigger personalities like Velveteen Dream, who's physically bigger and has a bigger personality, guys like Lars Sullivan and you know, the Undisputed Era, which are now eating up a lot of television time because they hold so many championships. So I think on 205, where he can have, you know, slightly minimal character initially, but he can be more of a dazzling offensive persona. I think he'll be able to flourish more, especially because if you put him and Ricochet debuting approximately within the same time on NXT, I think some people would see them as a little too similar to be on the same show, kind of debuting at the same time, just because they're both smaller guys, extremely fast, flashy, high-flying type offense. Anybody who's watched them knows that they're very different, but I think to common people, common fans who may not know them distinctly from their work prior to WWE, could get them easily confused. So you put Leo, you know, with his self on, and I think he can really prosper. You know, the vignette seemed to hype him well, that they were, you know, that they have big plans for him. And there's a lot of amazing talent on the 205 Live roster that he can compete against. You you know, they recently did the while they were in the UK, 205 Live did the UK, and they had, you know, a hand up from the tournament for the UK to crown the first UK champion. So I think you have a lot of people. They're constantly trying to bring a stream of people in to 205 Live as well. So the only shows that I make sure to watch all of religiously are 205 Live and NXT. I honestly watch skim through, you know, catch segments that I want, that I'm interested in the next day on Hulu. But I try to somewhat avoid spoilers for NXT and 205 the best I can, and then always watch those shows.
They finally kind of release the reins and let 205 do what they can do. They're letting this roster that the people that they put under contract kind of get out there and perform and do these in-ring things. Again, with the storyline-driven show, along with their athleticism, it is just kind of the shot in the arm that this brand needed. Bringing in Leo Rush, again, this gives Leo the opportunity to perform and to kind of help people forget about his foot and mouth with the whole Emma thing, and let him get in the ring with people who are going to help elevate his in-ring skill. Like you mentioned, Danny, Leo is fast as hell. He's very quick. He's a smaller guy. He's going to fly around the ring. It is literally going to help the cruiserweights show their cruiserweight skills. If you remember the old WCW cruiserweights, they were all, you know, the lucha guys. They were flying around doing this, that, and the other. Leo brings a different dynamic, a different dimension to that. He's fast and similar, but so much different. A Leo versus Cedric match would be excellent because, you know, the speed of the match would go quicker. This is what they needed, I think, and they're doing it finally right. So hopefully, again, the crowd gets into this action because it's going to be different for them. The storylines help establish characters, and we know that the WWE audience, they are short attention span theater, so they need characters to get behind, to really invest in their stories, to cheer them, to boo them, to know them, to love them, in order for this brand to succeed. And this is finally what they're doing. They're giving you, or giving them, what they need to succeed, giving them the stories, giving them the time, giving them, you know, basically a little bit more of a free reign to do what it is the hell they do. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I think that Leo Rush, being a true cruiserweight, for going NXT works, because let's be honest, you brought up Danny Ricochet. With Ricochet, I think that has moved on from cruiserweights and lightweights and junior heavyweights. He's going to be in the heavyweight division when he eventually comes to the main roster. And I think that for Leo Rush, being in an NXT world where the heavyweights rule, and you want to push him in a different level, I think it wouldn't have made sense to be in NXT, because I don't think he's going to get a title shot. I think, you know, you have the house, you have Black, you have now, you got Lars, then you have in the back, you have, you know, all these other, you know, you have the UK champion and the North American champion in Pete Dunne and Adam Cole, then you have like Ricochet and now Dijak and EC3 and all these other guys who can easily contend for championships. And I don't think you need Leo Rush in NXT. You know, he did the loops and he did very well. Now he can just go straight to the cruiserweight division and add more value there than he could on NXT. And I think guys like Ricochet didn't need to go on NXT either. I think for him, it's just a way to get him ready to get to the main roster. You know, just a little warm up. You know, I don't think Ricochet is going to be there long term, to be honest. And he shouldn't be. The man's one of the greatest professional wrestlers in the world, and he's ready and primed for his WrestleMania moment. So I really enjoy what 205 Live has been doing, and I like the addition of Lio Rush and Cedric as champion. And now we know that Enzo Amore has been, it's not going to be facing prosecution for what he was accused of doing. Apparently it was found that, you know, he didn't do it, or they didn't have enough to, you know, take him to court. I'm not exactly sure. I don't pay attention to whatever, but he's been cleared as far as I understand. Not going to be seeing any charges. They were dismissed. He's free to sign with anyone. I don't think WWE needs him at this point. I hope they don't even think about bringing him in, because I don't want to see him right now. 205 Live is too good without him. I would hate to see what it looks like if you add him back on that roster. I think it would hurt all the good that it's been done, in my opinion. So moving along, let's talk about the UK brand for a moment, because, you know, we're wondering what's going to happen with the UK wrestlers. They continue to sign wrestlers into UK deals, similar to the ones for they have for Wolfgang, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven, where basically they control their bookings and get, you know, first dibs on everything and can't tell them what they can or can't work. So as they continue to do this, they sign more people. There was a rumor of our own show that's never happened. We've seen the championship being defended on takeovers and other NXT events. And now we're having another tournament for a new number one contender in June. And a new batch of guys, some guys from 205 Live, some guys on developmental deals, and some guys from the UK. But now they have named Johnny Saint as the general manager of the UK brand. So now that they have a GM, they have a champion. Do you guys think a standalone UK championship show is going to be the next thing?
Well, I mean, so they've announced, you know, they announced Johnny Saint as a GM. That, you know, they've announced the participants and the bracketing for championship. You know, some people we've seen before, some we haven't. They've all signed, you mentioned some of the people that they've signed at these UK deals. They've signed their first woman to one of these. From Prague, she's the, I guess she's the current Progress Women's Champion, Jenny. They signed her to a UK deal.
Yeah, and I think that also Toni Storm might be in a similar deal as well.
Yeah, either she's going to be signed there, or she's going to probably be signed, you know, and once again, very heavily in the Mae Young Classic when that comes back. I think it probably hangs pretty heavily on the success of this second UK tournament, because if it does really well, draws a lot of interest, I think that could be a network show. You know, they would of course do tapings in the UK, you know, bring some of the people onto NXT, onto 205 to kind of vote. But if NXT goes to Fox, then it gives another play, you know, then the WWE could use another featured program, network exclusive type program. I mean, it doesn't even have to be weekly. They could do what they wanted to. But I think that could be a good thing. I think it could be, you know, a very profitable thing for WWE and for the fans, and especially the fans in the UK, because then when they go to the UK, they longer tours, you know, and that could also help spread to more popularity throughout Europe. Those European tours are already very prosperous, but if they could extend those, you know, more countries, I mean, this could be huge. But I think the biggest thing is it hangs on, you know, on how deep they go into the UK thing further. Is this second crack at this tournament now? So I was looking at some of the names on the bracketing for the second UK championship, and some of the names I recognize from the first ones. Some of them I recognize as they've been on WWE TV programming elsewhere. One of the ones that I see as absent is Danny Burch. I know he's being more and more featured on NXT, but still, especially with the way he was kind of like had the controversial finish, being eliminated in the first round last year, I thought they might put him back in it. The other big name that I noticed is Drew Gulak. He is, as far as I know of, from these names, he's the only one that's not born in the United Kingdom. I mean, the style fits perfectly. Drew Gulak wrestles a very technical, a very Euro style. But he's the only guy that I recognize from there that's not Europe, that's not UK born. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, as we have had a couple people, you know, challenge for the UK belt who were not from the UK, like Johnny Gargano did. You know, Roderick Strong did. So I think they're testing more and more and more to see, gauge interest, see the popularity of this. But I think now it's much more of a reality for us to get a, if not a weekly show, then regular UK events and broadcasts.
I think they're going for along the same style of 205 Live. You're putting in a GM, you're trying to drum up interest, because I think they felt that their 205 Live experiment wasn't going the way they had planned, but now they have a formula of sorts that they can try to implement in the UK to, you know, get everybody on board with, you know, what they're doing. They have a fan base there. It's just getting them to subscribe to the network or pay for it on whatever broadcast that they want to do over there. And again, getting the talent and keeping the talent that is going to not just stay in that UK division, but can cross over onto your NXTs, into your 205 Lives, even your main roster, and get a nice buzz. I know that they want to do a UK, their own standalone show. They have way too much talent to just keep this kind of under wraps, so to speak. So my question is not when, but who's going to carry it? Because there are so many distributors over there that I'm pretty sure will be chomping at the bit to be a part of the WWE, considering it's a worldwide billion-dollar company. And this Fox deal, of course, again, gives WWE some kind of leveraging power when they negotiate with anybody and say, hey, I got a show. Pay me some money, put it on your television, and let's go from there. So it will happen. It's just kind of a dollars and cents thing. And plus, again, now that they've figured out the formula to implement the formula onto European television.
Well, I definitely do hope that we do get something. They definitely have the talent, like you guys said. They have a lot of investments they've made into this. And, you know, if the rumors are indeed true that NXT again is going to, you know, cable television, then, okay, why not add another great product on WWE Network, if you're losing the magic of NXT and the power that brings, all the eyes. So doing that helps. I mean, because look, you can integrate the UK guys on NXT, but then that also takes away from the guys you're developing, right? Because you can develop the UK guys on their own show, and NXT is a different type of show, and you can make those be different. You can mix them up every once in a while, but, you know, keep them separate. Do different brands. That's what I like to see. You know, I mean, it's all about branding, and the more brands bring more money, more merchandise. So, and I'm sure that would do great in the UK. You know, in UK only show, people would love that over there to have their own thing. I'm sure that they could have their own TV show. It doesn't have to be on the network on the UK. I'm sure that they will eat up more wrestling product. As far as, you know, you see the UK wrestling scene has, you know, has grown so much over the last few years and has gotten so big. There's a lot of demand for it right now. And, the you know, WWE getting into that business, you know, slowly, surely, they're going to find more ways to make even more money in TV rights all over the world, not just in the United States. Talking about the United Kingdom Championship Tournament, let's take a look here at the bracket and see if we can sort of predict a winner. On one side of the bracket, Zach Gibson versus Amir Jordan, Drew Gulak versus Jack Gallagher, Flash Morgan Webster versus James Drake, Tyson T-Bone versus Jordan Devlin. So that's one side of the bracket right there. And if I had to pick one guy, right now I think I'd go with Zach Gibson to make it to the finals of his bracket. On the other side, you have Tucker versus Joe Coffey, Dave Mastiff versus Kenny Williams, Liero versus Travis Banks, and Ashton Smith versus Joseph Connors. And on this side of the bracket, I am going to go with the current Progress Wrestling champion, Travis Banks, to win his bracket, make it to the finals of the UK tournament, championship tournament. With the winner, I think, Two-Face Pete Dunne, Zach Gibson. So I see it as Pete Dunne versus Zach Gibson for the UK championship.
I see Flash Morgan Webster coming out of his bracket. I agree with you on Travis Banks. And Travis going on to face Pete. But yeah, I'm all about Flash Morgan Webster.
Since I will so bad at guessing for the tag team classic, and also that I don't really follow the British wrestling scene, I'm to attempt, because well over half of those names are just names to me. I'm going to withhold from guessing tournament winners for quite some time until turn around is so terrible for every single round for the entire Dusty Classic.
Can you do that? Is that legal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to have to consult a rule book. I'll let you slide for right now, but I think that's illegal.
I think he's still sour at the fact that when we did the predictions for the Dusty Classic, most of it had already been taped. So him going in blind because we try to avoid spoilers and being stuck in a place where he was making all these guesses for something that had already happened and, you know, half of the things he predicted had gone differently kind of you know, made him a little sour. I think that he still holds that against anything and refuses to make predictions for a while.
At least tournament predictions, you know. Individual match something, yeah. But tournaments, yeah, the tournament predictions are a little on hiatus.
Okay, so let's wrap up the WWF talk here with NXT. I think we've alluded to NXT a lot from a bunch of other conversations, but now we can talk about NXT as we're heading over to TakeOver. Less than 2 weeks from now, from Chicago, and it's looking like a pretty good card that we will, in full detail, go over next week. But thoughts about how the show has been built over the last couple of months? I have really enjoyed it. We're not going to talk about everything, but a few topics. Let's start with the continuation of probably one of the longest feuds in NXT history and one of the most popular wrestlers on NXT, Johnny Wrestling. But Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa have been killing it. I mean, I predicted a year ago that I'd be too tired to watch another year of this, but the way they have done it has kept it so fresh. It makes me want to watch more. And after the last match that they had together, being fantastic, and then found more ways to continue to hate each other, and now they're going to fight again, a takeover, and the build to it has been great.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Just fantastic work involved. Going. Yeah, I can't wait for any and all interactions between these two guys.
NXT has been putting out almost since, you know, this inception on network when Hunter's taken over. They've been putting out quality programming, quality storylines, feuds. Everything that they do is almost golden. So this build to Chicago again is one of those wrestling cities where, you know, this is going to be one hell of a show where you're going to get your money's worth and then some for this takeover, that everything that they're putting on is going to be explosive, and it's going to not just come to an apex at the pay-per-view itself, but you're also going to get more spin-offs, so to speak, or more, you know, that you can, they're going to play off on down the line. So, you know, I'm just excited to see this. This has been it seems like a long time coming to these pay-per-views here with the Federation. So I'm excited to get this one, you know, on to watch and see what happens. But this Gargano and Ciampa feud, the whole thing, it's been like reading one of these like long novels, you know, just when you think you've had enough, something else happens where you want more. So we're at a point now where I don't know if this will ever end. And I don't think I want it to end, you know, that whole fight forever chant, you know, I kind of want that. I know that's greedy, but hey.
I definitely do think that, you know, they could now. I could definitely believe them going all the way to Brooklyn. And, you know, people have, you know, always talked about how it could include the NXT Championship. At this point, I believe they could happen that way. Will it happen that way, though? I'm not sure. I don't think that this feud needs the championship. These guys don't need it. We'll have to wait and see what happens, but this match could be the end. It could not be the end. They could go fight forever NXT and never go to the main roster, but, you know, you make more money when you get to the main roster, and that WrestleMania money, it's pretty, pretty nice. So another thing that surprisingly came out, and I liked it, Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. I thought that maybe I wasn't going to be so crazy about it, because let's be honest, Velveteen Dream, while he's a great character, his wrestling is not on par with Ricochet. Could he keep up? Well, I think that, you know, they had a short match on NXT a few weeks back, and the back and forth have been fantastic. I love this whole Velveteen telling Ricochet anything that Ricochet can do, the Dream can do better. And then this past week, with Ricochet doing that flip over the top rope, landing perfectly on his feet, and then telling Dream to go ahead and do it. And man, the facial expressions on Velveteen, just the whole way that the feud has been leading up to their match at TakeOver has been going, I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I'm actually looking forward to see it. Now, I'm hoping, you know, for a fellow Patrick to do very well in the ring. But when this kid eventually makes it to the main roster, I really hope that he'll be successful and won't just be taken as a joke, because I think that especially the acting is really, really good. And I think that's something that really got people's attention when he was on Tough Enough. And, man, I think that if he's able to keep up with Ricochet at TakeOver, I think that he's a future star.
He's already got that star in the making quality. You talked about the acting. The acting is on point. The wrestling, I wasn't sold on, like you, a program with Ricochet, but I feel that Ricochet is a veteran enough where he can use his own strength and pair up well with Velveteen Dream. I'm not a huge Velveteen Dream fan at all. I think the acting is too much. It's a little bit too much for me. It really is. I feel like he's like a black gold dust, and I've seen all that before. This is just a modern spin, and I'm over it. But you know, again, it's entertaining, and I'll allow it. Jordan. Yeah, that.
And was, Orlando Jordan.
Yeah, Orlando Jordan. That might be his name. It might be Orlando Jordan. I'm not sure. They do favor so much, but you know, again, you praised Ricochet earlier, and I will give him the due as well, that he is very, very talented in the ring, and this will not be the first time he is in a ring with someone who is not in his class, so to speak.
I'm not really a fan of either guy. And so these extended talk segments with them are kind of painful to me. So I just hope it's over soon. I'm not really enjoying it. I kind of tune out, play on my phone a little bit until the segment's over.
What do you guys make of Shayna Baszler's title run? I like the stuff that she's been doing with Dakota Kai, and now you have Nikki Cross back in middle things, and I kind of like the way that she was kind of intimidating Dakota Kai, you know, and then Nikki came back to a huge pop.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that Shane has kind of been bullying the division. You know, it's not just Dakota, but she, you know, she's kind of been bullying the whole division and trying to say, okay, who wants to step up? You know, she's been trying to intimidate people and beat them before they even get into the ring with her. And Dakota finally trying to step up, I thought was something really cool. Yeah, Nikki coming back and now challenging for the belt seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. Excited to see once Kairi Sane gets back in title contention. I also want to make a point to say how much I've enjoyed the Kairi Sane and Lacey Evans feud. Even though I don't really enjoy Lacey Evans, I think I like a made-for-TV feud. And that's what this is. It's been made for TV. Had the third quote rubber match this week. All the matches, you know, all the promos and everything were just done on the weekly show. When those are done well, I really enjoy them. And I think they did a good job. Lacey, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of, but she did well in this Kyrie being the bigger, you know, more dominant looking competitor. I think played well into Kyrie being able to be the underdog type competitor that she is best at, and it just made for some fun matches and stuff. I really enjoyed that.
I love the fact that Baszler is this bully, and that, you know, she's been running roughshod over these girls. It's something that I kind of wish you had Rhonda back doing this instead of Shayna, where, you know, you build on this character. And now, you know, hey, she's got somebody, Nikki, coming at her. And I don't know. It's again, I said it before, they're doing everything right. You've got the guys on point. Of course, the ladies now. Everybody's got something working in their favor. You got, like you said, Kyrie in that underdog position, or fighting from the underdog position against Lacey. Kyrie worlds ahead of Lacey, but again, Lacey's still able to have a good showing because, you know, Kyrie's putting her over correctly, you know, selling her, you know, big offense or whatever. I'm happy with everything NXT is doing. It's really, really weird to be totally pleased with a WWE program, but I am.
Yeah, I think what the women have been doing on NXT has been fantastic. I, like Danny, am not a fan of Lacey or the character, but yeah, the things with her and Zayn have been done very well, and Shayna just continues to show, you know, how easily she's been able to take pro wrestling, and, you know, hey, that time spent on the indies definitely helped her a lot, and then coming, getting, you know, tidy up now, she's doing a great job as champion, and she could be champ for a long time right now. There's no rush to move her up anytime soon, so I really enjoyed everything they're doing with the women. Of course, you know, there's so talk about another Mae Young Classic coming up and things like that. So whenever you get something like that, it's, you know, it can always be, you know, okay, well, what's going to happen? You get all these new women coming in, and a lot of them with that. So really enjoy everything's been going on. NXT has been really fun, and I really look forward to TakeOver, as I do every single TakeOver, but the weekly episodic shows have been fun to watch. Nothing has been skippable. War Machine, I like what they're doing with them. TM61, the tag team division, with them looking like they may be turning heels now, with the way that they've been portrayed. That's very interesting, to say the least. And then, you know, seeing Chris Dijak on NXT TV against Ricochet, that was fun. Hope to see a lot of him. And then, of course, continue to talk about the tag team division. Then you have Danny Burch and only Lorcan. And then hopefully once Bobby Fish returns, even though right now you have Roderick Strong tag teaming with Kyle O'Reilly, you have them as champions. A lot of great things, you know, happening. You also have Street Profits and Heavy Machinery out there. Man, just a lot of great things happening on the NXT. Really fun to watch. Everybody definitely needs to be watching it. Get the WWE Network. It's definitely worth it. Now to wrap it up and finish up this week's episode, let's go ahead and look into the New Japan Pro Wrestling scene, as the Best of the Super Juniors just finished. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the whole thing, which I will. I'm a little bit behind here on some of my wrestling. But from the things that I've been hearing, the winner, Hiromu Takahashi, did great. It looked like the Takahashi of all before he lost the championship. It kind of became this little comedy act.
A time bomb.
Him winning and now facing champion Will Ospreay at Dominion for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship is going to be a fun match, which, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say I hope that Takahashi wins this one, but for some reason I feel like Ospreay will take it. Let's take a look at the rest of the Dominion card in no particular order. We have the champions of Suzuki-Gun, El Desperado, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles against Roppongi 3K. Tegushi Japan's Juice Robinson and David Finlay versus Chaos's Jay White and Yoshihashi. Also from Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano against Suzuki-Gun's Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. Then a three-way match for the NEVER Openweight Championship as the champ Hiroki Goto will be defending versus Michael Elgin and Taishi. And Los Ingobernables de Japón, Sanada and Evil will be defending the IWGP Tag Team titles against the Young Bucks. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Yoshi Thunder Liger, and Rey Mysterio Jr. will be facing the Bullet Club's Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll. Of course, the Junior Heavyweight Championship match between Ospreay and Takahashi. Then, for the Intercontinental Championship, Tetsuya Naito is going to be facing Chris Jericho. And in your main event, in a no time limit, 2 out of 3 falls match for the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada versus the Cleaner, Kenny Omega.
It's Dominion. It's one of their big shows of the year. I really like it. In one match, you have some of the greatest professional wrestlers the world's ever seen, and Marty Scurll. Match. I mean, so that's pretty interesting. Well, Hangman Page is in there too, but yeah, it's mostly a dig at Scurll because he's not that great. I don't get the Marty Scurll hype. I don't get why he's entertaining. I definitely don't get the gimmick with Ella and the mask, you know, the plague doctor mask. I don't get any of that. And I don't think it's ever been explained. People have tried to explain it to me, and it just doesn't make any sense. Okay, he just wants to wear a lot of wacky stuff, and if you just want to wear a lot of wacky stuff, wear a lot of wacky stuff. That's cool. You know,
that's awesome. Come on, no,
like 80s club stuff. People used to do that in the club in the 80s. What's going on? And then like he's a villain, but like he gets, I don't know. So. Enough about him. That's me me spending than honestly he deserves. So you have the match with three of the performers that the world's ever seen: Tanahashi, Rey Mysterio, and Jushin Thunder Liger. That is amazing. They could fight. The three of them could team up against some burlap sacks, and I'm hyped. Like, I don't care who they're against. It's going to be awesome. Have the finale, between Omega and Okada, when Okada, finally puts Omega away for good when he beats him two straight in about 24 minutes and proves that he truly is the greatest. Because once he also beats Omega, past the longest title reign duration, 1,135-36 days or something, which the record previously held by Kenta Kobashi. So when once you break the record held by Kenta Kobashi, you've pretty much proven that you are the greatest wrestler, if not of all time. And Okada truly, and I'm really, really, really excited for that. I mean, the Bucks are, proven that they're heavyweights, man. They've been getting their swole on, so that's that. We'll see if they can win heavyweight tag team gold. It's just a lot of fun. It's a good show, a long show.
All right. I mean, I'm excited for. I love Jericho with this kind of. I want to call it a last hurrah because Jericho seems like he's just ageless.
He's had like 15 supposed last hurrahs, and then he comes back and puts a lot of other awesome stuff on. Like everybody keeps saying, "Oh, this will be the last time Jericho's going around. Last time he's doing something." And then he comes back, 6 months later and does more awesome stuff. So there may never be a last retirement tour.
Right, exactly. And that's what makes this, even though we're saying it's not his last, but it makes him special because he, again, is just doing something, I guess, uniquely Jericho, where people thought that the whole time he was there in New Japan the first time was like a one-off, and here he is now with Naito and cutting promos, going crazy, just cursing, and just, living his best heel life as Jericho. And that's going to be great. I mean, the build to this, that match alone was enough to kind of get me hyped. Now, again, there's lots of tag matches on there, a couple three ways, and, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Okada Omega. 2 out of 3 falls. They're going to fight 2 out of 3 falls. I mean, for real, we've seen them time after time after time, and I'm not tired of it. And now we're going to see them literally claw, scrape, and fight for, at least 2 wins over
24 minutes. So this is 21 Okada beats them 2 times in a row.
Okay. I mean, that's your prediction, and you're doing a singles match prediction. I'm saying there's no time limit. They're going to go, 36 minutes, okay? And I don't know who's going to win other than my eyes and the rest of the world, because it's just going to be an awesome match. It's going to be an awesome show. I'm not up with that 3 a.m. stuff, but hey, I'm going to have to watch it.
I'm super excited for Dominion. I very much like the New Japan Pro Wrestling. Well, not as much as Dave Meltzer, of course. However, I very much look forward to Dominion, and of course, Kenny Omega being one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. It's also huge. Now, we're not going to go and predict the whole entire show because, just not going to try to go there. Not trying to get in the mind of Ghetto and figure out what he's going to come out. But we will discuss and predict officially. Right now, the winner of the main event. Will this finally be the time that Kenny Omega wins the big one from Okada? And I say yes.
Well, you said yes like five chances ago. The only time he beat him was not for the championship. In the G1 Classic. I stand by my prediction. Okada wins 2 falls straight in about 24 minutes.
Kenny Omega's due. He is due, he is due, he is due. Omega for the win.
See, Danny, 2-1, that means we're right and you're wrong. As any other democratic state, nation, majority rules, Kenny Omega will win. He will reign supreme. Then he will finally defeat the American nightmare that is Cody Runnels. And he will prove to everyone that he is the true leader of the Bullet Club.
Bullet Club is fine. Bullet Club is okay. If we not listen to Cody, Bullet Club is fine.
Cody also said Star Wars is fine, just in case you guys were wondering.
You cannot change his opinion on that. Just so y'all know.
Well, with that, I think people have heard enough of us for this week. We will be back next week. We are no longer on hiatus. So we will be able to talk about all the fun stuff that we do this weekend. Of course, there's some wrestling with Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Two nights at the Southern Fry Gaming Expo, including the Red Wedding of Shug D and Su Young, and the return of Kimberly to Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Unfortunately, I'll be missing that, but Danny and Tamika will be there for all the action for those two nights. You should also check it out. And, of course, Dominion's happening this weekend as well. A lot to talk about next week about that. And look out, we'll be coming with a new top five topic soon, as well as reviewing another show from the past. So that all will be coming up later this month, as well as talking about Money in the Bank and TakeOver Chicago. Lots more, because, you know, pro wrestling, it's always going to be here for us to talk about because everything else really sucks. So with that, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Make sure you check us out on the Twitter machine. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. We're on Twitter at FOW Radio. Subscribe to the FOW Radio Network on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and wherever else you can find a podcast at this point. And, well, as I said many times before, keep watching wrestling.